Good day from Marion, Kentucky. Welcome to the program. Typically do not have a Friday podcast, but this is a special opportunity to talk to Lexington Herald leader, high school sports writer Jared Peck, who will give us some insight into the Kentucky High School Athletic Association's landmark decision yesterday to make some changes in the way high school football and track and field and cross country are classified. And this will affect private schools and have some value, you might say, for some public schools that have been crying for a change like this for many years. First of all, I want to tell you about the Launchpad in Marion, Kentucky, which is a sports complex, a training facility, and much more. Let's hear from Colby Davis.
We are here and we are serving all of Western Kentucky. We are your premier sports and athletic training facility. Full service weight room, speed and agility training, baseball, softball, top-notch instruction. Look us up on Facebook, our website, or reach out to us anytime with any questions that you might have.
And again, that's the Launchpad in Marion, Kentucky, featuring Starks Training as well. Well, I appreciate Jared Peck from the Lexington Herald Leader being here with me this morning. Jared, big announcement out of the KHSAA, and I know you were at the meeting. First of all, let me give a little background, and maybe you can even chime in here, but you and I were colleagues at one time many years ago at the Paducah Sun. You are a Paducah native. So now with the Lexington Herald Leader, how long have you been up there?
I've been at the Herald Leader since about 2000. I've been the high school sports writer since 2019.
Yeah. So you're.
I started with you as the agate clerk, taking phone calls at night and coaches' calls and till midnight with you at the Paducah Sun. And then I went into news and became an editor. And then I got demoted all the way back to high school sports writer.
Oh, so that's not a demotion. I wish I could say that's all I had to do these days, to be honest with you.
My character arc has been adventurous as far as the journalism journey has been. So it's, but yeah, I'm where I'm supposed to be. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, let's delve into this really earth-shattering, I'm going to characterize it, announcement by the KHSAA. How did we get here to the fact that they are now going to put a multiplier factor on the private schools, in essence, answering some of the cries by people to do something about these private schools that dominate in the normal classification system?
Well, what doesn't get seen from the Athletic Association is that over their meetings, and they meet about every month during the school year and a couple of times in the summer, is that they study this issue and they present alternatives basically to their board members at every meeting. And the board members are school superintendents, athletic directors, sometimes coaches who become athletic directors. You know, Sacred Heart's Donna Moore's on this board. Damon Kelly, who has been a high school basketball coach at Lafayette and West Jessamine, is on this board. You know, you got representatives from every region. Mm-hmm. And they've studied this issue. And over the last few meetings, they've been talking and discussing what can be done about, you know, the perceived lack of a level playing field on the football field, not just regarding private schools, but also regarding some of the independent school districts and districts that don't have really borders anymore because of legislation that's freed it up. And those include, you know, the Belfries, the Beechwoods, the Pikevilles, the Paducah Tillmans, those kind of schools, even Boyle County and George Rogers Clark County can accept people outside their school boundaries if they have seats. And this step, they feel, has been tried in other states and has survived court cases in other states because of how it's applied. And they feel like that they could survive a court challenge with it and that it is equitable as because of what's happened in other states and how they've done it. Other states are far more drastic in some of the things that they have done. Alabama is we're counting 1.35 per private school student. Alabama counts 3. now, and then Ohio has a system that includes whether you've been successful or not and whether your kids are from your geographic area or not. And so that takes in private and some of those kind of independent district kind of deals. And the problem with us doing that here is that there are counties with multiple schools, and that data about who's coming from outside isn't broken down by high school. It's only broken down by the entire district. Mm-hmm. So a county that's run by, like Oldham County Schools has 3 or so schools, and you would have to, the only breakdown you have right now that's easily accessible is the entire, all 3 high schools. Mm-hmm. And so that's not fair to the high schools. So like they might be all at one high school. It could be just one at this high school from the outside the geographic area. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's something they've been talking, they're talking seriously about it. And this could just be the first step to doing more, because we have a lot of schools that win football championships over and over and over again. And, you know, the people out there know how that happens.
Right. And of course, you cover sports right there in Lexington, but you have a good feel for how the state is responding to this. What are you hearing?
Oh, I mean, there are people that are thrilled, and there are people that are really upset. You know, the private school people are always going to argue that it's not fair to them. I get that, but I think that they all can compete at that higher level. I don't think Christian Academy Louisville has had a serious challenge in 3A in 4 or 5 years. And, you know, this also affects track and field and cross country. And you can see there that private schools are dominating at the 1A, 2A level. So if you're trying to put out if you're trying to balance the competitiveness of your schools, enrollment is supposed to make it more competitive. And then we have this situation where sometimes it's not as much as competitive as it should be. Mm-hmm. I mean, now people are always going to cry about it being unfair. But you know, there's a lot more people that are involved in public schools who think that it's been unfair to them over these years, mm-hmm. who have seen 4 straight Cal state championships. And, you know, in Lexington, Lexington Catholic has dominated track and field, or cross country and track and field on the girls' side for sure. And then, you know, they just won a boys' state championship. And had to take it away from Covington Catholic. Mm-hmm. So I was 2 private schools in track and field, mm-hmm. that are doing that. So, I mean, they're looking at it pretty hard, and they're willing to take, you know, the slings and arrows over it. And like I said, there's private school representation on the board.
On the board. So I do not know the answer to this. I should. I just happen to think of it. How do they deal with Fort Campbell, Fort Knox? Are they considered independent schools or public schools? How do they fit into this?
Now, there's a specific category that private schools fit into, and I do not think Fort Campbell and Fort Knox fit into that.
Yeah.
I don't know the lingo or the terminology for how these schools are classified. It's the way the state sees them in the
purchase
of Lacey.
Yeah, I don't know
the lingo for that, but I do not believe this applies to Fort Campbell and Fort Knox.
Okay.
At all. Or you may, maybe one day if they built in a success factor, it would, you know, that could affect them one day, but I'm not sure about, I don't think they're private. I mean, they're publicly funded. So that's what goes into that.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what could be looming on the horizon then, if success factor is something they've been talking about. What are some of the provisions in that? How would they determine if you win a certain number of championships year after year, or is it a winning percentage, or how will they look at that? Do you have any insight?
Yeah, in other states, it is they've established a point system. So if you win a region championship, that goes into your point value. And if you win another region championship, that goes into your point value. And if you win a state championship, that goes into your point value. And once you exceed a certain number of those success rate points, you get promoted a level.
Yeah, this is, so this is like
a
travel
back-to-back
sports.
State champion, like, yeah, it's a back-to-back state champion would probably get promoted.
Yeah.
To the next class up. Now, if they don't win there and the next cycle comes around, and we're only doing this on a 2-year cycle, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
So this is a 2-year cycle for everything. So everything's a 2-year experiment. This thing with the promotion for the 1.35 is going to do for a 2-year cycle, and then they're going to evaluate it and see whether this they feel like it's made it more competitive. Mm-hmm. Or not, and then we could revert back to the way it was, or we could keep doing 1.35 for the privates and then add a success factor as well for some of the other things that are going on. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, certainly if you've won a state championship, you're going to get a bump in your success rate. And like I said, this is not something they're doing right now, and they're not going to do it this cycle. They're doing this is an incremental process where they're doing the 1.35 now, and then the next realignment cycle, they might consider putting a success factor in. Mm-hmm. Where somebody who wins a back-to-back state championship might get promoted to the next level. And that wouldn't take effect until the next cycle. They wouldn't put it in like, you know, last year's champion, right. You're bumping up. They wouldn't do that. You would have fair warning about, okay, this is the new system in place. Beginning in this cycle, we're going to start counting success rate. So we're talking 3 years down the road where it might start happening. So we're just now doing the football realignment for 27 and 28, and that alignment comes out in May because they had to wait to see what the board was, whether they're going to approve this measure or not.
Yeah.
So this factor comes in for 2027, and then we might see a success factor in 2029.
So the realignment was supposed to have come out just a few days ago, but
yeah, it was supposed to be unveiled yesterday.
And
that was a draft. It was going to be a draft because it wasn't going to be the final approval, because once the draft comes out, then some of the people who've been moved places that they don't want to move to will make their arguments for why they shouldn't be there, and they'll come back in May and they'll appeal their placement, and then cases the lawyer will say, that kind of makes sense, or they won't. They do listen, and sometimes they move you and sometimes they don't. But because of the, if we do this, the map looks this way, and if we do that, the map looks that way. They had four different scenarios of how the map could look. Because what also took place yesterday is that they considered, for football, they do just boys enrollment for your cat classification. And then for the other sports, they do total enrollment. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things they considered was like, do we do total enrollment for football and just simplify it and be done with it? But the problem with that is that Central High School in Louisville is 60% female, 65% female. So if they take total enrollment, Central bumps up, out of their control when they don't have the male students to support being bumped up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wrestled with that and wrestled whether they carve them out as an exception or they just do boys enrollment. And they decided to just do boys enrollment.
Well, so, that makes sense.
But but that created another map. if they didn't approve that moved maybe one or two schools somewhere else because of that.
Yeah.
But it was just another variation, and they weren't comfortable. The meetings lasted until 2:30 yesterday, and those meetings take long enough. So, approving the measures they did and then going over the map for another 2 hours was not something they wanted to do yesterday.
Yeah. So let's a couple of other things I want to touch on. Number one being any apparent loopholes. Have you got any insight on where those may exist?
Well, I don't think this, if you're at the bottom of a category, a class, like Sarah is, the 1A champion, mm-hmm. and they just barely get bumped up to 2A in football.
They could dump
they couldn't dump kids, but they don't move up in track. They stay where they are in track, and they're not, they have some athletes every now and then are good at track, but they're not like a powerhouse like Lexington Christian or anything. Mm-hmm. The 1.35 sometimes won't be enough to bump every team up. And I don't know, I haven't applied this to everybody, but I don't know that it bumps every private school that plays football up. There's 14 schools that could be affected. And I don't know that it bumps everyone up. St. Henry District in Northern Kentucky just started playing football. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they don't want to move up.
Yeah.
Because, they're a fledgling outfit that was, just came out to get their head kicked in all year this year. It was his first year playing football. And they put a lot of money into it. Mm-hmm. And you're telling St. Henry, thanks for joining football, but, you're now going to have to play at a higher level. I don't think that St. Henry would be thrilled with that. I haven't talked to Sarah AD yet. He's not going to be thrilled, mm-hmm. for sure. But I don't think there's a way out. There could, we still have time. The May meeting is coming. And this is like what happened with the shot clock. The shot clock felt like it came out of nowhere last year. And it almost did, although they've been talking about it for years. But the day after they approved the shot clock, they had the huge, everybody has a vote meeting for bylaws and stuff. And they faced very little backlash. I mean, people mostly praised the shot clock rule. And so now we've got a couple of months to the May meeting when this football map will be unveiled for everybody to call all their KHSAA board members and the KHSAA office to weigh in on this thing. And so is it possible they could back off? In May, it's possible. Yeah, we could be backtracking in May. I don't think that they'll do that because the leadership of this group are pretty steady people. One of them, Greg Howard, is from Warren County Schools, Bowling Green area, and the president-elect is from Lexington, and they've been both behind the shot clock in this movement. Mm-hmm. People think that Julian Tackett, who's the commissioner of the KHSAA, is, the puppet master or something like that. That ain't the way this is going at all. Julian Tackett did not want to tackle the shot clock last year. And the shot clock overran him. I mean, they present ideas and their best cases to the board, and sometimes the board follows their recommendations, and sometimes the board goes, nah, we're going to do it this way.
Yeah.
And, that's... I would say that, depending on how much response there is, and I don't think there'll be a ton, because really the teams that this affects, they can play at the next level. Mm-hmm. They can play a level up.
It's only about it, but 14 they can play of them.
Yeah, it's only 14 football schools. I mean,
not allowed boys.
Yeah, and then, I think in track and field, I don't think Lexington Catholic moves up. I don't think it bumps Lexington Catholic up enough to move to 3A track, but it bumps LCA enough to move up to 2A track. Mm-hmm. And really them being in the same track division, that helps their rivalry, I think.
Yeah. I guess I need to walk this back too. I said it only affects 14. That's in football.
Football. Yeah. It's going to affect everybody else. St. Mary's going to get a bump.
Yeah. On
if they're competitive. The 1.35 also affects St. Mary and, Pierist and some of this Bethlehem, all those small privates that are a little engine that could privates,
right.
The Holy Crosses and stuff
UHA,
like that. Nobody's gonna wait for UHA, okay. I don't think.
so let's touch on one more thing. This board appears to be willing, as you said, to buck tradition, maybe buck what's been. The way things have been done. So can we expect maybe some classification in basketball, baseball, softball? There's a you know, a cry out there for that as well.
It's going to be very difficult to ever classify basketball, but they are probably going to, in the next cycle, experiment or think they're going to think about really hard classifying soccer as an experiment for the rest of the sports that aren't basketball. They've entertained people coming to them over the last year and a half, pleading for classification of some sort. Please, let's classify something. You know, it can't just be this for competitive purposes. And they've listened. I mean, we had a presentation last year and then a few months later after that, and they've looked at the numbers yesterday at the board meeting. They looked at how it breaks, the enrollment breaks down in a number of different ways if they were to try to do this. So classifying soccer might happen, and the multiplier would affect that too. So teams that win multiple region champions, like we have here in Lexington with Lexington Catholic Girls Soccer just dominating this region, they would be up into the big schools there in the cycle where the success factor or 1.35 kicks in. I don't know that it's going to happen by 2027, but it's going to. Soccer classification is coming. I feel pretty comfortable in saying that we're eventually going to get to classification soccer. And if that works and it's successful in the cycle that they try it, and they usually try it in a cycle, then they might move it to volleyball. Then they might move it to baseball and softball. I think that they consider doing it in baseball once, and it's the travel aspects of all these teams spread out for the small schools being so spread out in baseball kind of messed with it. But that's also going to be a problem in Western Kentucky for soccer. But yeah, it could be coming. It could be three classes just like track. Mm-hmm. But if that doesn't work, it might be two. The caveat I would say there is that, you know, soccer and volleyball are dominated by Louisville private schools. Mm-hmm. If we split them into three, and the success rate doesn't bump up certain private schools, the private schools are going to dominate 1A, 2A, and 3A. They're still going to be there because soccer is a specialized sport that, frankly, you know, a lot of, you know, the prominent cities, you know, big city areas have huge soccer enthusiasm, and a lot of those kids go to private school. And so that's still going to be there. I mean, we haven't had a public school soccer champion, girls soccer champion in a little bit. We've had some public school boys, but yeah, it's, you know, the private, that competitiveness problem, just classifying soccer doesn't solve soccer's competition problem, all of soccer competition problems.
So what you're saying is during this beta period, if you will, when and mm-hmm. if and when they do try this classification with soccer, they will also apply this multiplier factor right off the bat.
I believe the multiplier factor is baked into whatever. Every sport that gets classified. So the classifications exist now in cross country and track and football would be implemented right off the bat if they classify something else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jared Peck, appreciate your time this morning. You know, you are a great resource across the state. You and Jason Frakes are probably the two guys that know as much about high school sports across Kentucky. Of course, Jason's at the CJ. So I appreciate you sharing your wealth of knowledge with us folks back here in West Kentucky this morning.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I have the fun part because Jason has to travel from Louisville to those cage to play meetings and sit there all day. And I'm just traveling 15 minutes from my house. Yeah. And I give him a good natured rib about that, but he's a great guy too. And I really appreciate you having me on. It's good to talk to you. And it's been too long. I like this conversation. I hope we can have more.
Yes. Thank you a lot, Jared Peck.
And that's going to be a wrap on this morning's special Friday podcast brought to you by the Launchpad in Marion, Kentucky, featuring individual and team sports training, including the heralded Starks training system. This has been Chris Evans reporting for the Crittenden Press.